Last week we were looking at the subject of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity, God come in the flesh. I decided that we would look at this because so many people today will say that, well, of course, Jesus was not God. Where did Jesus ever say that he was God? And the answer is, well, in various ways and in various places. He did not use the words, I am God, worship me, which is what some people have been demanding. But you cannot demand something that is frivolous. It's a bit like, say, asking someone the question, when did you stop beating your wife? The question includes an assumption, and the assumption isn't necessarily true. And a person would say, but I've never beaten my wife. Yes, but when did you stop? You see how easily people can try and bamboozle you by the questions that they ask. Well, originally I had intended to go beyond talking about who Jesus was, that he was God in the flesh, and go on and speak about why it matters. Well, I ran out of time, and had I continued, we would have probably gone on for another half an hour or even an hour dealing with that. So, God willing, that's what we're going to look at today, and hopefully it's not going to be more than an hour. But we shall see. If it starts getting too long, then I'll say we'll move on to the next week as well. So, the question is, why then, if Jesus is God come in the flesh, why did he need to come in the flesh? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. This was in response to being asked, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus says, you don't need to see the Father, because you've seen me, and that's all you need. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What this illustrates is not only that Jesus himself is God in human form and has this intimate relationship with his Father, not only is Jesus part of the Godhead, but that he has revealed himself in such a way that people can comprehend and understand something of the Godhead. God is not distant. God is not out there. God is not far from us. God is near. God is close. God is here. God is with us now. And he is compassionate. And he is personal. He is a God that can be spoken to. He is a God who will comfort and who will encourage. Jesus, as God, had to come in the flesh in order to deal with salvation for us, for sinners. The writer of the Hebrews writes, this is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and following, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus had to be like us. Jesus had to be a human being in order to bear the punishment for our sins. To be a human and to be punished for sins. Even though he was not a sinner, he took our sins upon himself. Someone who is merely a human and nothing else cannot save. And if Jesus was, as some people taught in the first century, was a mere phantasm, was some sort of ghost, a spirit, then he can't represent us because he wouldn't be like us. But Jesus came God as man. And so as man, he represented us. But as God, he was infinite and so was able to bear in his own body, in his death, was able to bear the punishment due for our sin. It's only God who is able to do this. Now some people say, oh, God could have just waved his hand and said, I forgive you all. But then there would be no justice in the world. We hear about demands for justice. We speak about people who have committed terrible crimes, and they escape punishment by committing suicide. Oh, they have escaped punishment. They have escaped judgment. There is no justice. Well, that's wrong, because they have not escaped judgment. They have gone to the judgment where justice will be meted out by God, justly, fairly, and righteously. Although it is true to say that even in the final moments of life, before a person dies, it is always possible that they may recognize their complete folly throughout their lives, all their wickedness, and if in those final moments they were to repent and believe, they would be forgiven. This is a remarkable thing to consider, and we think that's unfair, that's unjust. It's not fair or just for any of us to be forgiven because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is the gospel. We do not receive what we deserve. We are delivered from that because God has the authority to break sin and death and the power of the devil. If we insist that people receive the punishment that they deserve, then all of us will have to be punished endlessly for our sins. But the good news of the gospel is we are delivered from that. We are freed from that because of what Christ has done graciously, lovingly, and kindly. The Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the world as a man, came in part to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, Christ appeared, the reason he appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And that is because of who he was. He could defeat the devil's power, not because he was a mere man, but because he was the God-man. He had the power to defeat the devil. The devil thought he had won. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, the devil was delighted. The devil was over the moon. The devil thought, I have defeated God and God's plans. But the devil was wrong, because the death of the Lord Jesus was part of God's plan to deal with the sins of the world in order that those who repent and believe would be forgiven for all their sins. And the devil was defeated by the death of Christ and by his resurrection, and thus was unable to continue to hold sway over the world as he had done for so long. The Lord Jesus Christ, coming to the world as God and man, was able to empathize with us in our weakness. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We are tempted all the time, left, right, and center. Sometimes we resist the temptation to sin, but so often we give in to that temptation. We find it easier to give in to temptation to sin rather than to resist. We find resistance hard. We find resistance difficult. Sometimes we are successful, but so often we fail and we fall into sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted just as we are, and yet he never gave in to temptation. He never sinned. And so he understands our struggles. He understands the pain of resistance, of temptations to sin. And yet he did not sin. And here God in Christ understands us. He doesn't save us from a distance. He comes amongst us. He came in the person of Christ to save us from our sins. Jesus, being God in human flesh, he shows us truly what God is like. If you want to know something about the character of God, then look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know how we should live, look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Christ the character of God. We learn from John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when people say, oh, Jesus was the first thing that God created, well, it says that Jesus created all things, so therefore Jesus must have created himself, which is an absurdity. No, Jesus is God who is the creator. And because God creates, we too, to a lesser degree, to a lesser extent, we talk about creation in terms of works of art. These are things that come out of our heads. We think of the creation of various items of technology. God was creative, although God created things out of nothing, we create things out of something, using our minds, using our abilities, using our talents, because we have that, an aspect of that characteristic of God. When we look at Christ and we see the compassion that he had, we read often about his compassion. He saw crowds of people. He spoke of them as being sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion upon them. When there was a large crowd following him and they were lacking food, he had compassion on them and provided food for them. And most of all, of course, he had compassion upon lost sinners who were condemned to eternal punishment. Not a nice thought. But he had compassion, and he came into the world to save sinners. He did not have to do that. But out of compassion, out of love, he chose to come into the world. He willingly came into the world. He willingly went to the cross, where he suffered in agony, the punishment due to our sin. He was humble. We read earlier from that passage in that passage in Philippians chapter 2, which illustrates the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi and encouraging them to do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of the others. Why are we to behave like this? Because we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, though he is God himself, though he shares the deity with his Father and with the Holy Spirit, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be clung onto, although it was true of him. He made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he went around demanding that people bow down to him. Not at all. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I always find it amusing when you have people who assert their authority and their power over others. Don't you know who I am? They're not being in the slightest bit humbled. They're saying, I am more important than you are. But who could make such demands more than the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet he didn't. He did the very opposite. He humbled himself. He served others. The lowest of the low. He served. He did not make demands that he could rightfully have made, because he was humble. He told the truth. He said, John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know what is true, you listen to what he has to say. You want to learn about God and the truth about God, you listen to what he has to say. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. You want to know about justice? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will judge the world in righteousness. He laid out for us the principles of justice and of righteousness. On that great day when he returns and judges the world in righteousness, he will judge according to those just and righteous principles. He is the embodiment of justice. And he is also the embodiment of sacrificial love. Husbands are told to love their wives as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? He went to the cross. He suffered and he died on the cross, paying the penalty for the sins of the world. That most famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ came because of love. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross because of love. The Lord Jesus Christ offers full and free salvation because of love. He receives the worst of sinners out of love. He it is who is the embodiment of love. Coming into the world as a man, and as a man who lived a sinless life, he shows us how it is, what it is to live a proper, a perfect human life. You want to know how you should live? Look at how the Lord Jesus Christ lived. Look at his selflessness, his humility, his love for people. Look at how he was prepared to stand up to falsehood, how he dared to stand up to error. Look how he dared to stand up against the arrogance of the Pharisees and condemn them, whereas the world looked upon the Pharisees and said, what holy, righteous people! But he exposed them. And it's part of the reason why they were so enraged that they were determined that he should be destroyed. They were determined that he should go to the cross and that he should suffer and die. We are encouraged to be like Christ, to imitate this. I've already read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Be like Christ. Have the same mind as Christ. Think as Christ did. Think about being humble. Think about serving others. Think about loving others and being self-giving in your love for others. Think about this. Some people are very concerned. They're worried. They think, well, I believe that God has forgiven me. I believe that I have the forgiveness of my sins. But what if at some point I fall away and I fail? And will God reject me? God in Christ came into the world to deal with sin and to save sinners. And while it is through repentance and faith we receive forgiveness, that is the vehicle through which we are saved. But who is it who does the saving? The one who does the saving is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, and he holds us. It's not how hard we hold upon Christ, it's how hard he holds upon us. Now, obviously, we are told in the scriptures that there are some who make a profession of faith, but it's not a genuine profession of faith. And when they fall away, it is very sad, but they are merely showing that they were never true believers in the first place. It is Christ who saves, and we should seek to ensure that we know in our hearts that God in Christ has saved us. And salvation is accomplished and is completed by Christ. So we must therefore remember this. God became a man in Christ. It wasn't merely at Bethlehem when the incarnation took place. God became a man in the womb of his mother Mary. It didn't just begin at Bethlehem and it didn't end at Bethlehem. We're approaching Christmas, and in weeks ahead we will be looking again at Christmas matters. It didn't begin in Bethlehem and end with Bethlehem or end with the resurrection. The amazing fact is that as God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and there is now a man in the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will one day return. But until then, the risen Christ, still fully God and fully man, not half and half, 100% God, 100% man, is our high priest who intercedes on our behalf. And when we pray and we struggle to pray, we read in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, but also we read that the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us. So through the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to be God with us. An intimate bond between the believer and the Godhead in and through Christ. It's not merely a matter of, oh, well, that's what the Bible teaches. But it's a matter of what is our current reality for those who believe. It's the heartbeat of the hope of glory that we have. It's all wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John writes in John chapter 1 verse 18. No one has ever seen God. The only God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. As I mentioned earlier, we don't need to see the Father because he who has seen Christ has seen the Father. We know the Father in the person of the Son. Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't yet know him, seek his face. Repent and believe in all that he has done. and seek his blessings upon you. And for those who do know him, rejoice at what he has done. Rejoice that he keeps you and holds you. Rejoice that one day he will take you to be with him in eternal glory. And since the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God in human flesh, obviously, it is him that we should trust, him we should listen to, him we should worship, and him to whom we should devote the whole of our lives. Oh, may God bless us and help us to not only hear these words, listen to what God has to say to us about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but live in surrender of the whole of our lives to him as long as he gives us breath.